Well, welcome back to the porch. And as you know, we've been talking about how images, specifically pieces of art, can be very, very helpful in your spiritual transformation. And we're going to talk today about the premier image, and that's the image of the cross. Now, the image that, you know, there's a lot of possible images of the cross with Jesus and his suffering body being on a cross. There's Celtic crosses, there's a lot of them. And most people in the Protestant world have removed Jesus's body from the cross. Well, I've come to appreciate the reality of the benefits of having Jesus's body on the cross, because I think a lot of people would like move right past that. The same reason why a lot of people didn't want to go see the movie on the Passion, because the suffering and everything is really hard for people to enter into. But I found it's very, very beneficial. And, you know, the beauty of our religion, of the Christian religion, is this, is that Jesus, the Son of God, did not come to us in all this pomp and grandeur. He came to us as a suffering servant. And the symbol of the cross says to us is, here is God, the God of the universe, come and ends and culminates everything he was doing on earth by entering deeply into our suffering. And the cross is the symbol of us, of him entering into our suffering.
So coming from a Protestant background, you coming from a Catholic background, the difference is that for us it's the symbol of focusing on the death and not the risen aliveness.
Yeah.
What would you say about that?
Well, I think you need the full experience. Mm-hmm. I think he was on the cross and he died on the cross, and the cross is empty and the tomb is empty. But I think it needs to not just be one-dimensional. I think we can look at it in all the depths that it is. But to me, it seems like a lot of people want that empty cross. They don't want to realize the intense suffering that Jesus went through and the humiliation that he went through on our behalf. And that it speaks a lot to the reality, because, you know, if you live in this life, there's a lot of suffering. There isn't this nice thing if we just skip from, you know, dying on the cross right to the resurrection and glory. You know, we live in suffering, you know, really almost all of life. But when suffering comes in heavy ways, it doesn't disappear real quickly.
Yeah. So where did you get the cross that you have?
Yeah, and see, when my daughter Marcy died, you know, just the intense devastation, the intense need of God. But at the funeral home, of course, at funeral homes, they soak you for everything they can soak you for. But they had these beautiful crosses. And actually, we bought one for everyone in our family. But, you know, this is a very, very large cross. It's, you know, maybe 12 to 15 inches, you know, high and then very wide, and a very, very, you know, picture of a golden Christ on the cross with the intense suffering on the cross. And so, you know, coming out of the death of my daughter Marcy, you know, I realized how vital and important it is to enter into the sufferings of Christ. I know that in the midst of my sufferings, he entered into my suffering. And I think, you know, we also need to enter into our suffering. Now, the interesting thing is, I look at this cross and I see myself, when I'm going through just some intense despair or suffering, seeing myself laying my head on the chest of Christ. And the crazy thing is, we had a cat that used to come down every morning. I don't know, my animals like to come down and have devotions with me. But this cat,
Saint Francis.
This cat would come and sit on my chest. And that was what originally gave me this, you know, this image of me resting on Christ's, you know, chest as he's dying on the cross, the suffering, dying Christ, you know. So, I think, you know.
What would you say to people who are suffering deeply and don't have a sense of the suffering Christ?
Yeah. I mean, I think you have to see that that is the essence of Christ, that he wants to enter into our sufferings. And you have to begin realizing that, that, you know, what I've said and I've talked to different people that have been through this experience is sorrow can become your best friend, but it can become a great enemy if you try to avoid it. And so a lot of people, when they have sorrow, just try to stay as far away from it as possible. One of the things, you know, God had taught me before Marcy died was the need to really enter deeply into the sorrow. And I intentionally and purposefully went and had experiences that drew me closer to Marcy. Like when we go to the beach, we always go to the place where she lived and visit that, the place that she lived and the place that she died. I went over to her school in McDonough and spent, you know, a couple hours there at McDonough just walking where Marcy walked. And so I tried to intentionally enter into the experience that, you know, the experience of my sorrow, because I think the closer you get to your sorrow, sorrow becomes your friend.
Did you have a sense of that when you were in the depths of your grieving right after she died?
You know, the depths of the grieving was so deep, so overwhelming. But every night I would get up, and there were times when the depression was so deep and so dark and so ugly. And, you know, I would begin reading something from the book of Psalms. And, you know, the book of Psalms was just like God coming down and relieving my suffering. And at that point, I was reading the whole book of Psalms once a month and just intensely just entering into them. I think the book of Psalms are written really with suffering in mind. I think maybe even death in mind. But you read them and so many are talking about the deep, deep sorrow that these people have experienced. And they enter into a deep, ugly depression, and then at the end of it, they say, "Hope thou in God," or "God will come and come and rescue me from this pain."
So, what would you say for people that are looking at God as some kind of sick, like the thought that Jesus had to suffer and die to appease God?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, like we talked about last week, they really have an incomplete view of God. And, you know, the very essence, the strong statement of God's purpose, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." You know, so the central purpose of him coming down here was because he loved us. An act of his love was the suffering and death of Christ. You know, take a long time for people to understand this, but that isn't the central point. The central point is that he loved us. Under that love, he sacrificed his son for us. And so the central purpose wasn't that he had to die. The central purpose, first of all, was love.
Yeah, and it's interesting when you read Rohr in talking about the Trinity, which we're going to talk about next week, but that it was a redemptive love for all of creation, to redeem all of creation back to its original goodness, not just for an individual soul. That is, but the cosmic Christ came in terms of a redemptive, for the redemption of history and all of creation. What would you say about that?
Well, and I think that's to me, it's such a minor statement to think that only God desired that we would get saved and go to heaven. You know, in the bigness of the whole universe, that's all he's concerned about. And so, you know, I think if you read the scriptures, you know, the idea is all will be redeemed. Everything will be redeemed. Mm-hmm. And in Revelations, you see a new earth, a new heaven existing. And so there is the desire to restore all of the world. He would seem like he had no love if all he was doing is just saving us from our sins. There's so much more that he wants, that he's, you know, he wants to bring to us.
Do you think looking and meditating on the crucifix can transform your image of a penal God, of a, you know what I mean? Like a
Well, I think the thing is, I think what that begins to see is that, you know, you see that God is suffering with us. And I think you also, you know, what Teresa of Avila says, all suffering is God's suffering first. Mm. So his heart is broke when, things like death occur. And I think it's very important, you know, people say, well, God wanted that person to die, or it was time for that person to die. Well, I don't totally reject that idea. I think you have to walk through it in depth. Number one is, when somebody dies, God's heart is broken just as much as our heart is broken. The scriptures say clearly, death is our enemy and death is God's enemy. Hmm. And then you have to look at the second piece of it too, and that is the piece that because of the resurrection, there's a hope even in the midst of death. But I've seen too many people say, well, everything's wonderful, they're in heaven, and I talk to them 2 months later and they're in desperate despair. Yeah. Because they really haven't processed it. But we have to, I think, like Teresa of Avila says, all suffering is God's suffering first. And so in all the suffering we have, God is in the midst of our suffering. So, and, you know, it says in Romans 8, if we enter into his suffering, we enter into his glory. And so his greatest glory is his suffering. When we enter and take on the suffering of the world, we're entering into his glory. Now, Jeff's going to read a section from Psalm 30, which is one of the beautiful pictures of the victory of the cross and the victory of the resurrection.
Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. To learn more about the meadow, go to www.meadow4.org. We're continuing with our summer series, The Podcast on the Porch, where we talk about various ways to deepen your spiritual life and grow in your faith. Follow us on Facebook and Podbean to hear more, and be sure to keep an eye out for upcoming events like our Spiritual Development Forum, which will be happening in the fall of 2017.